Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. Thank you so much for joining today. I have a pleasure this morning. It's always a distinct pleasure whenever this young lady will join me on the show. And occasionally she has time in her busy, busy schedule. Thank you very much, lady, nice lady, for coming in today.
Oh, you're welcome, Bruce. And I don't know, young lady, I'm older than you are.
It's Diana Zerlini, ladies and gentlemen. She's the superintendent over there at Northside School. Superintendent of, what would you be, of Northside and Center Street, right?
Yeah, Northside, Center Street, Fairfield, PSD 112.
District 112, and we're going to talk about some stuff in the education world that folks just... you need to know about from time to time. You've got all kinds of new things going on over there at school, don't you?
Yeah, we try to stay progressive and what's current out there with education, and that's it's amazing how it's changed, not just for students but for teachers and administrators also, Bruce, because
really?
I would have never believed 5 years ago that Twitter would be my main source of ideas.
No kidding.
Oh,
what do you get from Twitter?
Oh, if you follow different people in education, I mean, and any grade level, like if you put a hashtag kindergarten, you'd be amazed what comes up.
Is that right?
Yes, or hashtag technology and education, hashtag administration. And so a lot
of... probably follow Neil deGrasse Tyson and all those kind of guys.
The
rocket scientists and astrophysicists.
And you got people that are stellar in our field that... in administrators and what they do for being to revitalize their schools, to keep current, all those things. So yeah, it's changed a lot.
You're just getting ideas. It sounds like Diana that really there is nothing's routine anymore then, huh?
No, it's not, because just like I said, in the past you would have to, okay, if I want to find out something, I got to go either subscribe to a professional journal,
right,
or something like that, but now it's at your fingertips. If there's, most of them have articles attached to them when they have something, so you can open the article, hey, I like that, save it, go back to it later, send it on to some of your teachers, or you think, hey, this might interest them. Just all different number of things, and it's just
so much easier to get the information distributed to where it may or may not be good for folks, huh?
Yeah, well, you get the information to who needs to know it.
Right.
So it just makes it easier. It makes professional development easier. It makes everything easier.
How long have you been doing it now?
Twitter?
No. How long have you been a superintendent?
This is my 31st year.
In education.
I was...
I just can't believe... Lynn reminded me this morning when I told him you were going to be here. That you had announced that you'd started the track, basically, is what you have to do, I guess, for retirement, right? Which makes me feel 1,000 years old.
Well,
that
now.
That you're able to retire.
I know I look younger because of all that clean, innocent living
exactly
I've done in my
right.
life.
All the clean living. You look so young.
I'm 57. I have 2 more years after this year. I started out the high school. I taught 13 years science and health.
Uh-huh.
Then I was 3 years assistant principal.
Right.
8 years principal.
Right.
And now I'm my 7th year superintendent at the grade school.
My goodness. You basically just followed Rena Thalbert down the line, didn't you?
Well, kind of. Rena was a very good friend and a mentor, and I miss Rena a lot.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet. Talking here with Diana Zerlini, we're going to talk about, like I said, all kinds of things that the school has going on. And you just finished a baseball season. You got sports coming up. When does girls basketball start?
Well, boys basketball, our 7th grade plays in a shootout game at Weber on Saturday, this Saturday. And then the girls start next week. Monday we're on the road, and I think Tuesday's our first home game.
That keeps you a little busy, doesn't it? I know that you don't have to be there at every event, but you like to watch the kids, and you want to make sure everything runs smoothly.
I usually go to everything. Now, baseball and softball is kind of hard because a lot of times we play the same teams the same night,
right?
For travel purposes, so I go to one or the other.
Yeah, at different venues is the tough thing.
Yes,
there.
Yes. But basketball, I go to every home game unless I'm out of town. I'm usually at the gym, and people see me. I'm sit over there in my chair in the corner, and Sometimes wish I had a walkie-talkie to the coach, but no superintendent should have that.
No, that's probably true. That's certainly true. I may as well talk about it now. When you talk about administrators going back into coaching, there's been a change up at Marshall, which kind of surprised me. They let Tom Brannon go, longtime coach at Marshall. You've been a basketball coach.
Yes.
The first female basketball coach for a boys team, right? In Illinois?
Yeah, I think so.
If you have a coaching change with 3 weeks to go before the season's practices start, what kind of issues would a new coach face in such a situation?
Well, number one, you've got to feel for those kids, especially Marshall was really planning on having a good season this year. So, you know, when they hear the news.
And we don't know what happened.
No, and we don't know what happened. Tom Brannon is a fine individual. Whatever happened, I feel sorry for him, too. But there are certain professional obligations you have to meet, and obviously something didn't happen. But the first thing you think about is the kids, because they're looking forward to the season, 3 weeks.
Have they already been practicing, probably?
If they haven't been playing football, they've probably been doing a little conditioning on their own or something like that. But they
shooting
had a whole
around.
Shoot around. They've been all summer with their coach. They know what to expect from their previous coach. And now, 3 weeks before the season, you have this upheaval. Well, you've got a new coach. And what are we going to do? How's it going to go? And there's so many factors that go into that. And then you've got parents wondering and everything. So when they go home, it's you know, well, what's going to happen today? And the kids don't know. And when you're a 17, 18-year-old young man, you don't talk. You just think. You don't talk about much. You just think about, well, how's this going to affect me?
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
See, now, you've dealt with those. I've been a 17-year-old young man, I would agree with you don't really talk to parents.
No, you don't. You don't. When you get together with the guys you hang with.
But we never had a coaching change whenever. My entire high school career in any sport.
Oh, wow.
Didn't have a coaching change. And, basketball, but I wasn't playing basketball, so I didn't care. I just always wonder what is going through the mind is a parent going to be more anxious about a new coach than a player, you think?
Well, yeah, especially with the kids that, most people have in their head who's going to, especially if it's a veteran team, who's going to be the starter for next year.
The kids on the team certainly have it in their head.
So they're all thinking, okay, do I have to prove myself to a new guy? Is it what he's going to run, she, is it going to be
function that I can deal that I can play well in?
Yes. So you feel for the kids in this because it's hard on them.
And I brought up administrator Tim Pearson, former coach here at Fairfield, is the principal up at Marshall, right?
Yes. He's been at Marshall probably for 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, and you gotta. We don't know anything for sure. But you got to expect that's the first guy that the board's going to look to.
Well, Tim's
and he's, by the way, he plans on retiring too.
Yes, Tim's around the same age I am.
He's farther down the track than you.
Yes, Tim's a veteran coach. Tim's a very good coach. If anyone can handle this responsibility, it's Tim, and handle it in the right way with kids. He has a good rapport with kids. He talks with them, Luckily, Marshall has someone very capable to step right in.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. And, of course, the Mules will play Marshall, I think they're in our bracket in the Lawrence County tournament.
Yeah, they switched somebody because Salem got in. And if it would have stayed the way it was, who was in our bracket last year? Salem was going to be at the Red Hill site, and that meant that they were going to play T-Town. And
Salem don't want to play T-Town with Fehrenbacher there?
Well, I don't think it's in a matchup for the first game of the season that they wanted. So I've heard that Salem is coming to the Lawrenceville side.
Okay, well, I'm trying to remember.
So I don't know who's switching over to there.
The Mules played.
Marshall, us, Lawrenceville, and Mount Carmel. So it's either Marshall or Mount Carmel that's going, because I know we're going to Lawrenceville.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really thought about Fehrenbacher being in that, about Salem coming into that tournament. Who got out? Wouldn't have been Neoga. They were already out.
Pickneyville, didn't they get out?
Oh, Pickneyville must have. Yeah, Pickneyville. That's a little long drive for them.
Yes,
anyway.
It was.
Talking all kinds of things. We're going to talk basketball. We're going to talk baseball today with Z. We've been talking education. I didn't even get to what I planned on starting to talk about in education, about the computers and stuff. And we'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM after these. Well, folks, welcome back to WFIW. This is Bruce Dickey. It's the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My guest this morning is District 112 Superintendent Diana Zerlini. And we've been talking about all kinds of things, talking about school as well as sports. And we've got all kinds of different things going on to talk about. You said to me earlier that apparently kids are getting new equipment. Now, when I went to school, let me tell you this, Diane. Whenever I went to school, when I was in first grade or kindergarten, either one. Actually, it was in first grade that I got my first Big Chief notebook. You remember the Big Chief books?
I remember the Big Chief.
The Big Chiefs were great. And I think I had that my first, second, third year. So I had that. I had my crayons.
64-pack.
Had the 64. Hey, only the cool kids had the
with the sharpener.
Had the sharpener. You betcha. Had to have the sharpener because you never know when you're going to need it.
Yes.
Right? And so I've got that. I've got that. I've got my pencils. Occasionally a ruler and school supplies. I was just about done. Right?
Yes.
And is it like that anymore?
Oh, we still have the old supply list with the that hasn't changed.
But you got some new stuff for all the kids, don't you?
But we do have new stuff.
What's going on? What are the kids getting?
Well, we've had Chromebooks in 7th and 8th grade Chromebooks. Those are miniature laptops. They run off Google
Chrome.
Yes, Google Chrome system. 6th grade, got them last year, and this year, 4th and 5th grade. We should probably roll those out to the kids in a couple weeks.
So now these are issued by the school?
Yes, they're issued by the school, and the kids each get a number, and that's their Chromebook for the year.
Really?
Right now, they just keep them at school, but they can take them from class to class. Then at the end of the day, we take them back to the charging cart, and next day start over with them.
No kid. So the charging, does each room have a different charging cart and they just put their books on there and it's
well, I think we have a centralized location for each grade level and then they just go there at the end of the day and then in the morning they start out with them.
So do they still have books?
They still have books, but slowly but surely we're probably going to get to digital versions.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, I'm trying to think. I can imagine that the books, textbooks are a pretty expensive part of raising a kid.
Yes.
Or at least of a school. For your, I would have never known how much a textbook cost until I got to college.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized, oh my gosh, these folks, these ain't cheap. And I'm assuming that when you're buying 30 for each class or 25 for each class, that you get a deal, but not that good a deal.
No. Even at the high school level, like if we started a whole new literature series, 9th through 12th grade, that usually costs somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000.
My goodness.
So the textbook companies obviously don't like this, but it's the printing costs that are backed up. But they have not dropped their prices very much. They're still...
Whenever you're able to convert more books to the Chromebook type of thing, well, that, I guess you wouldn't do that until you let them take the Chromebooks home, right?
Yes, and there's some problems that we need to overcome there. The number one thing is connectivity.
Yeah.
How many homes do we have that don't have internet or high-speed internet? That's the thing that you have to really worry about is high-speed internet. Now, you can get free Wi-Fi at McDonald's, Frontier, and the library.
Right.
But is that enough to take us where we need to go?
Probably not.
No.
At this time.
Yes. So we have to look at some partners like, okay, Walmart, will you provide free Wi-Fi? Because everybody goes with their mom and dad to Walmart.
Yeah.
So we just have to look at some things like that. With the Chromebook, we went with that because Google, I mean, everything in education is free with Google.
Really?
Yes. And they've come out with some really cool tools, Google Classroom, where kids can submit papers, the teacher can comment, make corrections, send it back, and it's all done electronically.
The kids are great. The kids are sending papers in, and the teacher can grade them,
make comments, make corrections. Hey, what? Make like, hey, look at this and see if you could word this differently, or look at your grammatical error here.
Right.
Those type of things, because it's not so much getting it right the first time. It's getting it right at the end.
Really?
Because we all get do-overs in life.
Sure.
It's, you know, the days handing in that homework and it's either you do it right or you don't are starting to filter out.
Really?
And so it's collaboration. It's and so if I as a teacher can start talking with the kid, communicating with the kid electronically, the student, hey, let's work on this. Let's improve this. I want you to turn in the best possible work that you can.
Fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, you're still doing spelling.
Yes.
I presume.
Yes.
I would think that these Chromebooks would be just the perfect thing for something like that. For,
yes, well.
The perfect tool.
Because you can do spell check, but, you know, we've all used spell check.
Well, I mean, in teaching somebody how to, like, flashcards or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, yes. So, and there's, you know, even with Chromebooks, there are apps, there are all different kinds of things, tools out there, because we're growing up with a gaming society.
Yeah.
And the students can multitask at a level that is beyond a lot of us.
Really?
Because with a lot of these games they play, it's just not straight. They have to think. And they like to think. And they like to solve problems. So that's how we have to approach teaching.
Right.
Problem solving.
No kidding.
Yes.
So so basically the kind of have the colleges and teaching organizations adjusted their curricula when they're graduating teachers. I've got a friend who's going to graduate as a teacher in May. Is the college putting a different kind of teacher in 2016 than they did in 2006 even, or 2000?
Yes.
2000?
And
really?
they are starting to make that adjustment just because, number one, the kids that are getting out of school to become teachers are more tech savvy.
Yeah.
So they're not scared by anything. So you can ask them, okay, do you know this? No, but I can learn.
Yeah.
And so with older teachers, and I include myself as one of those.
I suspect that you occasionally have an old dog having trouble learning new
things. It is, and it's scary. And it's not because change is hard. Change makes us uncomfortable.
Right.
Because we all like to know what we're going to do every day.
Yeah.
And have that routine, and so it's different. It's exciting. It's a little nerve-wracking, but it's different.
Do you have is that part of a difficult part of your job trying to I guess, motivate your teachers to embrace this change? Because I suspect you've got some teachers who never dreamed that they'd be teaching on a whiteboard and a Google book.
A smart board, having Google Chrome, that with the lower grades, we have iPads.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is different, but we've got a great faculty at Northside and Center Street.
Are there any erasers left?
No
erasers.
Now, I take that back. Well, no, there's not, because we got rid of the last erasers this summer. Second and third grade got whiteboards, and we took out the old chalkboards.
No kidding.
We revamped Center Street the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And so with the new addition, we didn't have.
How do the teachers get the kid in the back row's attention then, instead of throwing the eraser at him? Right? You can't really do that anymore, can you?
Well, you have to engage them to keep them interested.
All right, that's well put.
But like I said, our teachers, it's unknown territory and it's scary. But
when you use a whiteboard,
a whiteboard's just like a chalkboard, except you use markers, and you do have erasers, but they're not like the old chalk related.
It's not whenever the kid in the back row gets hit with the eraser like he did next to me.
Yes.
He had the big white square on his, the big white rectangle on his shirt for the rest of the day.
Well, I was in junior college in a music appreciation class, and there was a young man on the basketball team that sat behind me that was sleeping, and the instructor threw the...
Through a baton?
What's the thing that you hit the gong with?
Oh, a mallet.
With the fuzz on it. Yeah. He got it beamed with that. So
I suspect that's the 1970s and 80s, and I'm not sure that...
That would not fly now. But no, we have done a lot with technology. The teachers, because we've not... With textbooks, don't... It takes... Once, like a science book, if you get a science textbook, it's out of date when you get it, because they formed it like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So they've had to supplement their curriculum with a lot of stuff that they themselves, on their own time, find.
Yeah.
So I really want to commend our staff, because they've done a really good job with us. We got a new principal this year, Mr. Scott England, moved down from Sullivan.
Okay.
He's been a great addition at Northside.
Mr. Wren retired?
No, he's at Northside.
Oh, okay.
Amy Duckworth stepped back to the classroom because of family considerations. So Scott and Bill are both very techie-oriented.
Uh-huh.
We've got Facebook pages now, Northside School, Center Street School. We do Twitter chats after school. So then we ask questions about what do you want for professional development, things like that. And teaching's changed in the fact that teachers just don't go into the room and shut their door and you're an island.
Really?
We have once a month, twice a month, half day in service with grade level or subject level, where we get together and talk about what's working for the teachers, what's
can
not.
Do to improve?
It's all about improving instruction to improve student learning.
Yeah.
And that's the direction we go. With the new standards and the new math that we've had to adjust to, We've used a math coach that we've utilized. We've used money from Title I and Title II and professional development, and she comes in 3 or 4 times a year and sits down with our teachers.
Yeah, that's the tough part. She's got to teach the teachers how to teach the new math.
But you know, when you think about it, we have coaches for all of our sports teams. Why would we not have coaches to help teachers?
Well, you got a point.
And so I think that's gone in a really good direction for us. So. It's different. It's the same, but it's different. Kids are still the same.
Yeah.
They want to do well for a teacher. They want someone to give them a hug or a pat on the back and encourage them, and that will never change.
Yeah, that's for sure. Tell me a little bit about the different. You said you had smart boards too?
Yes, smart boards.
Now, what's a smart board?
Well,
like an idiot, but I haven't been in a classroom for years and years and years.
It's interactive, so the kids can go up there and you can use a stylus and point to things, and it'll tell you whether it's the right answer or not and some other things.
Just on the board?
Just on the board.
How big are those things?
Smart board's about 4x4.
So it's not quite the size of the screen that they would bring down and use your overhead projectors?
Yeah, it's about that size.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm. That's 4x4. Okay. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Every room has one of those.
How are those being, I guess they're all being received and used?
Yes, and you can have an Apple TV, so.
The reason I ask is there were occasionally teachers who would get new equipment and just shove them out the door.
No, we do trainings. We've had people come in for iPads. We've had Chromebook training. Fourth and fifth grade are getting Chromebook training in November. And that comes through our ROE. And
is it easier to watch film strips on a smart board?
I haven't seen a film projector in years. In fact, overhead projectors, they don't use those anymore either, because with Apple TV it's not Chrome TV, it's something else that we bought for the Chromebooks, but whatever's on your iPad or your Chromebook will project up on the smart board.
So basically you can watch, the only one I remember is Driver's Ed, Prom Night, or whatever. So they don't even have to have you don't show the kids in the 1960s on prom night with the driving, the driver's ed information and that kind of stuff.
No, but okay.
Have they converted all that?
Oh,
to Netflix?
Yeah. But take, for instance, like Todd Lear, who teaches history.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you imagine with the Civil War, but still there's a lot of great things out there, like showing one of Ken Burns' documentaries, or with the World War II and all the film footage you have, instead of just talking about a battle or why something was important, you can show it.
Yeah.
Or you can show liberating the prison camps or whatever. Well, visually, how much more of an impact does that make?
It's got to be huge.
Yes, it's huge, because we're a visual society.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Does Todd enjoy it?
Yes, he does.
Well, that's wonderful.
It's been tough. But
I bet you it's been a little bit of a change for everybody.
Yes, it has.
And
I've got to be better at it too. I have a Twitter account, but I need to make it a professional account.
Oh, I see.
I'm a lurker, so I always read a ton of stuff and then I send it on to people that I think need it. But I have to be more proactive in putting out our story.
Yeah.
We all have to be proactive about putting out our stories at Northside and Center Street, because we're really doing a lot of great things.
And that you want to make sure that the parents get to see that.
Yes.
And the community at large, like me.
Yes, because everybody wants to see their students'
and
picture.
I'm going to be writing a property tax check here pretty soon.
Yes, you are. and that's what we're doing with that money.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm talking with Diana Zerlini. She's the superintendent of District 112 Center Street and Northside. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show. We might accidentally talk Cardinals baseball when we return. We'll be back in just a sec.
July had a firecracker waiting to blow, breaking like a rocker who was making his way to the cities of Mexico. Lived in an apartment out on Avenue A, had a tall on a corner of town. Had myself a lover who was finer than gold, but I've been broken, I've been busted up since. Love don't play any games with me anymore like she did before. World won't wait, so I bet she thing right out there through the door. Hell, I still love you, New York. Found myself a picture that would fit in the folds.
Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here this Monday morning, Columbus Day. I appreciate you tuning in as I'm joined by Diana Zerlini today for Columbus Day. She didn't have school, but you're still working today, aren't you? I feel terrible to drag you in here and make you work on your day off.
Oh, no. I got to go in and work. We got some things going on tomorrow for our teachers' meeting. We get at early dismissal at noon. So.
Oh, well, it's Tuesday, isn't it?
Yes.
It was like second Tuesday of the month.
Yes, second Tuesday of the month. We get out early.
Oh, well, how about that? Congratulations. So now does that mean golf for the kids and the teachers don't get to go golfing or something? Or?
No. We have a new app that we're using for our crisis planning. It's called Crisis Go, and so we're rolling it out to the teachers tomorrow, and we still have hard copy versions because this is going to be a learning process for it all, but it's pretty cool in how we can communicate with each other without dialing phone numbers and all that.
Yeah.
So we're going to roll that out and get that installed to everybody and then start doing tabletop things throughout the year.
As I said earlier in the broadcast, Diana Zerlini was a former coach at Fairfield, also a pretty darn good little softball player back in her day. And you played fast pitch softball? Did you play baseball too?
I played baseball at home with boys, yeah. But I played fast pitch and slow pitch.
And a diehard Cardinal fan.
Yes.
How you doing? What's the Diana Zerlini anxiety level for the division series right now?
Oh, I'm pretty even keeled. With sports, you know, you have days like the Cardinals had Saturday.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a Cardinal team perform like that in a playoff game in a long. Well, probably the seventh game of the World Series against Kansas City when we fell apart.
Right.
So
it was a rough day.
It was a rough day. Jaime Garcia, you know, after the fact, we learned that he had been sick.
Didn't tell anybody.
I'm a little disappointed in that.
What would you do if you were still a coach and one of your players was clearly under the weather and didn't let you know?
I think Mike Matheny is very disappointed in him. At that level, the professionalism you have to have, it's not about you, it's about the team. That's no matter what grade level you play or professional, it's about the team. And for Jaime not to tell his coach, the team doctors or whatever, that he was not up to par was not a good thing. Obviously, you know, he got through the first inning, but the second inning, the misplayed bunt. I mean, he looked about everywhere except the concession stand to throw it to, and then he threw it out there in the right field.
And you know, he had plenty of time. He could have got the guy at home, I thought.
And the play before, Colton Wong didn't make the double play.
Right.
He threw the ball in the dugout, and you find out after the fact that there's something that he puts on his glove every game, and he forgot to that game. So it's just those little things that you don't think of at the time, but then when it all adds up, but...
Now you were getting a lot more information than I was. I was out there in the stands, and it was one of those things. What in the world is going on? It's like the old the old Vince Lombardi. What the hell's happening out here?
But I think professional athletes are much better than we are as fans of forgetting it and going on to the next play.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah,
that you have to in any sport. You have. Things aren't going to go perfect every time. And professional athletes have a unique ability to think, that play's done. Now I've got to go to the next one. Because if you don't have that ability, you're never going to advance. Because all you do is dwell on what happened
wrong. All you do is worry about the other
thing. Yes, and you can't be that way. You've got to go on to the next play. So, Jaime, you know, I can't badmouth him because he filled in when we needed a pitcher
this
year.
Great year.
Marco Gonzalez, you know, we thought he was going to be the next coming and shoulder surgery. Wainwright
goes down.
So you can't knock Jaime. He just didn't handle that situation very well. Now, tonight's game, you know, we're going against the savior, Jake Arrieta. So, but we have done very well.
The savior. I was going to say they're going to change his name to Jesus.
Yes. We have handled good pitchers well.
And we've handled Arrieta okay.
Yes. But then you go back to Kershaw. You can go back to when we played Atlanta in that one-game wildcard playoff. Medlin had been like 19-1 or something.
Right.
When Chris Carpenter beat Roy Halladay on 1-0. So, you know, I think the Cardinals have confidence. Now, I think it's the weather tonight's going to be a challenge because
What's the weather?
Well, it's going to be blowing out 20 to 30 mile an hour. So right field's going to be an adventure.
Might be one. The right field course they're probably going to keep Hayward over there in right tonight, aren't they, rather than center?
Well, that's...
I mean, with the wind out there, you'd really like to have your best outfielder out there.
Well, you'd like to have your best outfielder, but, you know, he almost needs to play center field if we want Grichik and Piscotty to play. I'm not a big fan of Brandon Moss starting over.
I was astonished that he started Saturday.
I know he's still coming back from the hip surgery or whatever he had,
yeah.
And he's not right. But when you've got somebody the caliber of Grichik, and he's proven that he can still hit. His arm may not be the best, but he can hit. But, yes, if we think there's going to be a lot of I'm sure this is weather that Mike Matheny did not want, because I know he's got to be thinking, I need Piscotty at first base and I need Grichik in right field. Because
they're hitting.
Yes.
Because they are hitting.
Yes, they are hitting. Now, against Lackey, they didn't hit. I was kind of disappointed in Mike and Mike this morning because Greeny really got on the umpire Friday night for the strike zone, and so-called.
He's a Cub fan.
I know, and it came across pretty strongly. And Golic's over there saying, it is what it is. And, you know, and that's coming from a player's perspective.
Right.
And so you have to adjust. And you know, Madden came out, and I have a lot of respect for Joe Madden, but I also think he was trying to play the umpires and trying to put a point in their head that, you know, I should be getting the same breaks for my guy on Monday night. And, you know, because they're always thinking, too.
Did you see what Joe Madden did yesterday?
He had breakfast at Wrigley.
They had breakfast buffet at Wrigley for all the players and put the Bears game on the big screen during the workout. They basically watched the Bears game during the workout. And the Bears won, which is really the gamble there is counting on the Bears to win the game.
But when you think about it, being a manager is not like when Whitey Herzog, Sparky Anderson knows. You have to relate to your players.
Yeah.
You have to. You can't just tell a player, especially professional athletes, to do something.
You see how that works.
You have to explain why you want it to do. Why you want them to do something.
You see how that works with Matt Williams.
Yes.
I mean, Matt Williams basically tells the best player in the National League, one of the top 2-3 players in the National League, that you're not running out hard enough, and he probably wasn't running out hard enough. This was early in the year. And benches him, and he responded. He played okay. He had a great year. But then he let somebody else do it. you can't do that.
No, you can't do that. So you have to relate to your players. I think professional managing is like 90% mental and 10% ability, because you have to be able to get everybody on the same page, and especially in a baseball season. That's a grind. Yeah. 162 games is a grind.
So that weather, they're talking about the wind blowing out to right tonight, 20 miles an hour. Is that right?
Yes.
They thinking that tomorrow too, or is that just today?
That's just today. That cold front goes through. It'll go through today in Chicago, and then it goes through tonight here.
The Cardinals facing Jake Arrieta. Michael Wacha has been a little up and down lately. He has proven himself in the playoffs, though, before.
Yes, he has, and after his last start, he said he had some things to work on. So I think he's had quite a few side sessions where they looked at his mechanics and what he was doing. And in the post this morning, it said that he had figured some things out. And when the Cardinals do side sessions, they're starters. All the starters are there.
Really?
So they kind of critique each other and look for if they're tipping off pitches, all manner of things. So in those side sessions with all the rest of the pitchers, plus Lilliquist, the pitching coach, I think they spotted something. So hopefully, the thing is, he hasn't had any time to try that in a game.
Yeah.
So you don't know how that's going to work out, trying it tonight in an important playoff game.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. Hopefully they can get hopefully the Cardinals, for me and you, hopefully the Cardinals win a couple in Chicago.
Yes, but tomorrow, win or lose tonight, tomorrow is very intriguing about who the Cardinals are going
to
start.
Well, that's the thing. You know, with Lance Lynn having pitched on Saturday afternoon, he didn't throw that many pitches. You could have brought him back, but I don't think they're going to do that, huh?
Well, as soon as it happened, I was sitting there watching the game, and
I don't think Lance Lynn was ready to come in for one.
No, I told my – well, they told him to be ready. But once Garcia started, he probably mentally thought, okay, he's going to get through this game.
Yeah.
Especially the first inning. I mean, he gave up the double, but then he got some solid strikeouts. Yeah. But then he came in the game, walked batter, gave up a run. But as soon as he came in the game, I thought, okay, John Lackey's either going to pitch the fourth game or Tyler Lyons is going to pitch.
Yeah.
And Lance Lynn came out yesterday and said that he was still the starter. I mean, he made a very bold statement, but that's the type of person Lance Lynn is.
And well, he wants to make sure that the management knows that he still wants to be starting.
Yes.
Even without talking to management at the time. You basically, if you put it in the newspaper and it's written down somewhere and published, they hear it too.
Well, and Lance Lynn kind of pitches with a chip on his shoulder,
right,
because he's kind of the forgotten man sometimes in the Cardinals rotation.
Yeah.
And he's
a grinder.
Yeah, and he's an innings eater, and he goes out there and does his job. And, you know, even if the other team gets four or five runs off of him, he's still out there pitching. He's an innings eater. And so I think that kind of weighs on him once in a while. But, you know, you can't worry about egos right now. You got to worry. And I think if the Cardinals lose tonight, Lackey will be the starter tomorrow on short day's rest.
You know, that's the amazing thing to me is that they haven't – who the Cubs starting? Have the Cubs even said
they have not announced their starter.
I didn't think the Cubs had either. And in a first series like this, usually this is when – you know, it's all set up. Everybody's got their slot. Everybody knows where they're pitching, how long they're pitching. Ain't like that for either team here.
No, and Carlos Martinez getting hurt.
Messed everything up.
And especially the way he was pitching really bothered us because then it was going to be who's not going to pitch.
Right.
And
it was Lance Lynn.
And it was probably going to be Lance Lynn, and he was going to be the long-term reliever in the bullpen.
Yeah.
So, I think Lance feels he has something to prove, but whether he gets that chance to pitch or not, who knows?
Oh, wow. Should be a lot of fun. You going to go to Chicago today or tomorrow?
No, but I'll be watching it on the TV. I imagine it'll be pretty wild up there on
In
Wrigleyville.
That was like $160 for standing room only, just to get in. And it's a $48
ticket. Well, it'll be interesting to see who sings Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that.
Yes. Now, the Cardinals have shown Jack Buck the last two nights at Wrigley and then switching the hats. But it'll be interesting to see who sings Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the seventh inning stretch.
That'll just about do it for us. Thanks for coming on, Z.
Hey, no problem. Anytime.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow.